Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for today, the third Sunday after Pentecost. Found in Luke 9, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is God's word. Some of you remember a couple weeks ago, I said something about the importance of repetition in the Bible, right? That was very common in a Hebraic way of thinking and writing. By Hebraic, it's related to the term Hebrew. So Jewish people in Jesus' day who spoke Aramaic, which was based on the Hebrew language, they had a very Hebraic way of thinking. We see this all throughout the Old Testament in the Psalms. When their writing wants to emphasize something, they repeat it. So if you're singing the Psalms, you'll often hear the Psalms repeat something over and over in a subtle and different way, but it's related to what came before it. Well, that happens in our gospel today. There's two areas where repetition is prevalent. The first one, the most obvious one, is that word follow. You see it all throughout the reading. Follow, follow, follow. Three people whom Jesus encounters who are would-be followers, who would follow Jesus where he goes. You have one who says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Another says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And a third who says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." So we have three people called to follow Jesus. But there's obstacles that get in the way that keep them from being the followers Jesus would have them be. The first one who says, "I'll follow you wherever you go," Jesus says to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, this following, it's going to be difficult. Wherever you go with Jesus, he's not going to be comfortable. He's not going to have a bed to sleep in at night. It's going to be harsh. To the second guy, the one who says, "Lord, let me first go bury my father," Jesus says to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Because after all, the gospel is for the living, not for those who have died. And to the third guy, Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This guy would have followed, but he wanted to go back and say goodbye to his family. But Jesus says, the time is now. Don't look back. He's using the example of a plow, and the image here is probably of a hand plow that someone would push through the field. What happens if you look back while you're pushing a hand plow? Your lines won't be straight. If you're going to plow properly, you have to be eyes fixed ahead. That's what Jesus calls on this person to do. The term we use for a person who follows, and that's the theme again, remember, repeating all throughout this gospel, a person who follows we call a disciple. Now, that's an important term, right? Because we know the church is supposed to be all about making disciples. In fact, you hear churches left and right who tout themselves as being all about making disciples. After all, that was what Jesus said, right? At the very end of Matthew's gospel, right? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." A disciple is one who follows Jesus. I think we all know we're all supposed to be disciples. We're all supposed to be followers. So are we? Well, in order to answer that, I want to ask another question. We're supposed to follow Jesus. Where do we follow him? Where do we follow Jesus? How do we know if we're following him? In other words, where is Jesus going? if you're going to follow Jesus, he must be going somewhere, and we must be going somewhere with him. I don't ever hear anyone answer that question. People tell us all the time, you're supposed to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, where do I follow him? Where's he going? It's right there again, repeated at the beginning of our reading. Because it's easy to emphasize that follow, follow, follow. But Luke tells us where we follow Jesus to go. He says, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And then there's the repeat. Jesus sent messengers ahead of him. They went, entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Where do we follow Jesus as disciples? We follow him to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? That's Christianity 101, right? I hope you guys know the answer. We go to Jerusalem because that is where Jesus goes to suffer, to die, to rise again, to be taken up into heaven, to reign from God's right hand. In fact, it's all right there. He set his face to go to Jerusalem to be taken up. The days drew near for him to be taken up, to ascend into heaven. But that couldn't happen until he went to Jerusalem and did what he was supposed to do. Disciples follow Jesus to Jerusalem because they follow Jesus to his cross, to his death, to his resurrection for us. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to go to his cross. Jesus redefined what Jerusalem was. Jerusalem, as you all should know, was the city where God dwelt with his people, right? They had a tabernacle in Jerusalem in the days of David, the one that had been built under Moses in the wilderness. The tabernacle was the place where God dwelt with his people. So when they brought sacrifices, they knew that God was there and that he received their offerings. After David died, his son Solomon built a permanent building, not a tent like the tabernacle. It was the temple. And the temple was where Israel worshiped, where they brought their sacrifices, where the priests offered their daily service to the Lord, because God was there with them. Well, then the Jews went into exile under Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of Babylon, and the temple was destroyed. But then when they came back from exile, they rebuilt the temple. And then under Herod, it was built up even bigger. That was the center of God's people's worship, was the temple, until it was destroyed in the year 70 AD. And you know what? It's never been rebuilt since. There is no temple in Jerusalem to this day, because Jesus in Jerusalem has fulfilled all of it. He is the ultimate sacrifice made for sins. He is God present with us in the Son. We don't need a temple for Jesus to be with us. He's with us now in his word, in his body and blood. Disciples go where the cross is found. Disciples come to the place where Jesus is given in his death for them. Your following, dear people of God, has brought you here today. Are you a disciple? Of course you are. Because Jesus has given himself into death on the cross. And that cross is here for you right now. Your sins are forgiven right now. Life is given to you right now. A lot of people want to make discipleship into a thing that it's not. They want to make following Jesus. They look at this text and they see what these people were called to do. Leave everything behind. Don't worry about the dead. Let them bury themselves. Don't worry about saying goodbye to mom and dad. Go follow Jesus. But they never answer the question, where do we follow him? Yes, turn aside from all those things behind you. Look first and foremost and always to Jerusalem. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ, which is taken from Jerusalem and transported and given to you, delivered to you here and now. You know, there are tons of things written about discipleship. I went on Amazon.com. Most of you know, it's best place probably to buy a book. I went on the book section and I searched for one word, discipleship. Just curious how many results I would get. The answer is over 20,000 books on discipleship. And there are countless churches that will say they're all about making disciples, making people who are committed followers of Jesus Christ. But you know what? If there's no cross, if there's no cross of Jesus Christ, if there's no Jesus who goes to Jerusalem to die for sinners, dear friends, that's not discipleship. Because followers of Jesus Christ know that he goes to a cross. They bring everything they have there with them. All their sin that has broken them and left them filled with guilt and shame. They bring it to the cross. They bring it to Jerusalem. All of our hurts, all of our wounds, all of our failings, we bring it all to the cross. We bring it all to the cross in Jerusalem where Jesus died for us. All of our doubt, all of our failings to be the sort of people God would have us be, it's all brought to the cross. See, that's what we bring to the cross, but then, you know, Jesus gives us things that come from his cross. He gives us his Holy Spirit. In our epistle today from Galatians 5, Paul talks about living by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. That Spirit that God gives us from his cross leads us to live lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So people will ask themselves, and this is the flaw, they'll say, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, do I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? They look at their lives and say, I don't have those things. I must not really be a disciple. To be a disciple, look to the cross. Look to Jesus, who dies for you, who rises for you, who will come again for you, who pours out his Holy Spirit on you. You know where disciples are made? At the baptismal font. Yeah, even little babies are disciples. I know some Christians deny that. But the Spirit, we are taught, is given to us in holy baptism. The washing of rebirth and renewal. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. That's where you're made a disciple. That's where you begin your following, because in baptism, you are joined to Jesus and his death. Paul writes in Romans 6, you are baptized into his death. You are baptized into his resurrection. Are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Well, was Jesus crucified for you? Has he risen from the grave for you? Will he come again in glory for you? And do you know where to find that good news? Then yes, you are a disciple. Because Jesus is the one who goes to Jerusalem without looking back. You know, Jesus at the end of our gospel said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus went to Jerusalem with nothing getting in his way. It was his mission. It was his purpose for being here, to go to Jerusalem and die for you. And he did not look back, but walked willingly into his suffering and death to free you from sin. And as those who now follow Jesus Christ made disciples in the water of baptism, don't look back and wonder, am I really saved? Am I really a disciple? Have I really committed myself to the Lord? You know, we're reading in our epistle the last couple weeks through Galatians. And we've been studying it on Sunday morning as well. The whole problem in Galatia was that they were making a law out of salvation. You have to be circumcised. I find it frustrating how many Christians do the same thing today. You have to give yourself to the Lord. You have to make a choice to accept him as your Savior. You have to commit yourself to him. That's doing the same thing they were doing in Galatia. It's placing the onus on you to look at yourself to find out if you're saved. Look to Jerusalem. Don't look back and wonder, have I done enough? Have I been on the right path? Am I really saved? Look to Jesus. Look to his cross. Bring all of it there. All your sin, all your guilt, all your shame. Be set free, as Paul writes in our gospel. Christ has set us free, he writes in Galatians 5:1. He has set us free to follow him, to love him, and serve him. He's poured out his Spirit on us so we can walk in it and love one another, care for one another, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He gives it all to you, and it all comes from his cross. Are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Well, is Jesus crucified for you? Did he die for you? Will he come again for you in his resurrected body to raise you? Of course he has, and of course he will. Thanks be to God for the path that we follow that leads to his cross, where we find forgiveness, life, and salvation for this day and for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.